When I had been ordained just a year or two, I asked Father Matt Settle about priesthood, and he'd been ordained several years longer than me. And he said, well, he said, I've come to the conclusion that priesthood isn't complicated. All you have to do is love God and love his people. He said, it's not complicated. It's just humanly impossible. Today, Jesus is asked the question by the Pharisees, which commandment is in the law is the greatest? And they had over 400 commandments in the law. So there was plenty of debate that was available. Jesus' answer is very simple. In fact, it's so simple, he repeats the Shema Israel, which is Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That was a prayer that Jewish children prayed every day. It was like the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep or the Guardian Angel prayer for a Jewish person. So Jesus says, the greatest commandment is the one that you say every day. A little subtle reminder that smart people can go off in all kinds of different directions and forget the thing that matters most. But then he goes on to say, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments are the basis for all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything that's contained in the Old Testament about what the Israelites were supposed to do and not do was about loving God and loving their neighbor. It's a good fundamental synthesis, a simplification, because all of the church's moral teachings follow the same pattern. It's about loving God and loving our neighbor. And that's all it really takes. I mean, that's all it takes to be a good husband or wife, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your spouse as yourself. It's not complicated. It's just humanly impossible. The same with parenthood, the same with being a good child. Just loving God and loving our neighbor, that's all it takes. And yet, no matter how hard we try, it doesn't quite seem to work, right? I mean, you say, man, okay, I am not going to yell at my children. And how long does that last? Maybe a day, if you're lucky, right? I'm going to, from now on, I'm going to not do that to my spouse. And then you do, right? We try hard, and yet we can't seem to succeed at this. We know what we're supposed to do, but we can't quite get there. What's the gap? Well, we need to start, we need to put the first commandment first. We need to put the first commandment first. We can't really love our neighbor the way they deserve to be loved until we're loving God the way that God deserves to be loved, until we've really put God first in our life. Okay, so I'm going to put God first in my life. Well, in order to love God, we have to really respond to his love. We love something that's lovable. We love someone that's lovable, right? And one of the reasons why kids, we love little children, is they're so cute and lovable, right? You just can't help yourself. Well, God is the same way. God is full of love. And he gives that to us. And love of God is not so much about setting out, I'm going to love God, but rather realizing how much God loves me and then responding to it. Realizing how much God loves me and then responding to it. The fact of the matter is that if we weren't blinded by sin and by our busy secular culture, we would catch glimpses of the love of God everywhere. Because it's all over the place. The fingerprints of God's love are everywhere. In ourselves, in our neighbor, and in the world that's all around us. And yet, we miss it. We miss it every day. So faith is not about beginning to believe something that's nice or makes us feel good or helps us get through the week. Faith is more about asking God to open our eyes so we can start seeing the world as it really is. Open our ears so we can start hearing God's voice, and open our hearts to receive the love of God so that we have something to offer to others. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters, which is a series of letters between a young apprentice devil and a senior devil, who's his uncle. And He's trying to help the young apprentice devil get on in life. So this little devil has been assigned to tempt this one poor guy, and that's his job. And he tries to cook up all these complicated temptations, you know, all these creative things to get this guy to fall. And the senior devil says, look, buddy, we've got this figured out. Just follow the plan. The plan is really simple. All we have to do is create so much noise in the humans' lives that they won't hear the voice of God. All we have to do is create so much noise in humans' lives we don't hear the voice of God. How doesn't that describe our modern society really well? And C.S. Lewis wrote this like in the 50s, which we would think of as a calm period of time, you know? But no, but things have continued to go along the same line. Opening our hearts to that presence of God involves freeing ourselves from some of those distractions and beginning to look and listen every day for the presence of God. Receiving God's love then allows us to respond in love for one another. And that's something that should fill our lives, but it should also begin to fill our society as well. It should affect the structures that are around us. In our first reading, we see how God is encouraging the people of Israel to act as he does. So don't oppress the foreigners, because you were once foreigners and you know what it feels like. Don't oppress the widow and the orphan, God says. God cares about them and he wants us to, too. Of course, an Old Testament kind of compassion, God says, because if you oppress the widow and the orphan, I will kill you. And then your wife will be a widow and your kids will be orphans. And how you like that? That's the Old Testament God compassion for you. All right. And then he says, goes on to say, and the poor, don't take advantage of them, because God cares for each of them. The way that God loves us, we should love others. And that should begin to affect the way our society is structured as well. You know, we have elections coming up shortly, and I put in the bulletin a little insert with some brief stuff that our bishops, the bishops of Wisconsin, wrote about engaging in public life, and I think it's really helpful. I think it's really good stuff. I encourage you to read that. On the back side, they give an outline of the seven different areas of church social teaching. Now, that sounds complicated, but what church social teaching is nothing more than an attempt to put down in writing what it means to really love God and love our neighbor in concrete, practical terms. So the church says that we have to treat every human being with dignity and respect, because life isn't ours. It doesn't come from us. And then we have to protect the family, because life doesn't just randomly appear, but each life is sort of cherished in the family. And then those individuals have rights and towards more than just being alive, but also towards a decent life, food, clothing, shelter, the basics like that, that we should be especially mindful of the poor and those who are most vulnerable. Church social teaching says that we need to... that everybody has a right to work and to earn a living wage. But it's not because we're out to serve the economy. Rather, it says that the economy should serve people. The sixth principle is solidarity, which basically means we're all in this together. So it's not enough for just me to look out for myself. We have to look out for others. And the last principle is stewardship of creation, taking care of the world God's given us. You'll notice that all these principles put people at the center. That for church social teaching, the people are most important. Are people being respected, treated with dignity, given an opportunity to flourish? Our society should reflect the love of God. Now, we're not talking about imposing our Christianity on everyone. What we're saying is that we all make our decisions based on our vision of the world and our vision of ourselves. Unfortunately, Christianity allows us to see those things more clearly, to see what truly matters and what's truly valuable, and it gives us the opportunity, the ability, to understand what the human person is worth and to treat human people with that same kind of dignity. That's what we're talking about, is seeing the world more clearly. And you know, as a society, it's obvious that we struggle to make these things work. And every year, more and more, the political... advertisements just focus on the fact that the last group has failed, and they expect that they'll be the one to succeed. And we get to wait 4 more years and get to see the commercial about this group that has now failed. And the next group promises to succeed. We struggle in society just like we struggle in our lives because we're not willing to put God first. And as long as we don't put God first, the rest of it doesn't fall into place. Let's, as individuals, take that step ourselves. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and then we'll find the strength and the wisdom to love our neighbor as ourselves.